Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. As intimated in yesterday's lesson, Yirmiyahu lamented the numerous casualties that fell in the battles that preceded the Babylonian conquest of Judea. Yirmiyahu witnessed the rise and the fall of the Judean kingdom. We'll review the major events that unfolded before his eyes. When Yirmiyahu was a young man, Israel had been undergoing a religious and political renaissance under the leadership of Yoshiyahu, who was coronated at the age of 8 and ruled for 3 decades. Concurrently, the Assyrian Empire, which had destroyed Mamlechet Ephraim and exiled and scattered the 10 tribes a century earlier, was now in decline and lost its stranglehold on Mamlechet Yehuda. The Babylonians, allied with other nations that had been oppressed by that empire, rebelled and attacked the capital Nineveh in 612 BCE. About the same time, Yoshiyahu became king of Yehuda. Consequently, the surviving Jews were infused with hope and seemed eager to cooperate with Yoshiyahu's policies of religious reform. He had the monumental task of uprooting idolatry and immorality that were the hallmarks of his predecessors, who adopted the culture of their Assyrian overlords. Yoshiyahu removed public displays of idolatry, renovated the Beit HaMikdash, and restored the worship of Hashem and the learning of Torah. However, he could not undo the social and ideological corruption that had become ingrained in Yehuda and eradicate all the pagan customs and thinking that had harbored under the surface. After the Babylonians and their followers destroyed Nineveh, they proceeded to overtake the countries west of the Euphrates River. Fearing that the Jews would lose once more their independence and identity, Yoshiyahu ignored the prophet's warning and made the fateful decision to join the Egyptian alliance, and sadly met his death on the battlefield at the age of 39. Yirmiyahu mourned his death, and those lamentations were incorporated into Sefer Eicha. Yoshiyahu's death brought an end to the glorious days of Mamlechet Yehuda. Egypt betrayed its Jewish ally and overtook the land of Israel, using it as a bulwark against the Babylonians. It was colonized by the Egyptians, who had appointed Jehoiakim as a local regent who swore loyalty to his Egyptian master and imposed punitive and crushing taxes on the population. Jehoiakim functioned as a corrupt and ruthless tyrant who undid all the good accomplished by Yoshiyahu. When Hashem's messengers rebuked him and his followers for pagan practices and decadent and immoral policies, Jehoiakim persecuted and even executed those critics, forcing Yirmiyahu into hiding. Meanwhile, the Babylonians progressed in their battles of conquest, crushing all resistance, and overtook the Egyptian territories and finally colonized the land of Israel. Yirmiyahu warned against resisting and prophesied that Hashem decreed that the Babylonians would reign over the civilized world for 70 years. Though Jehoiakim ended up paying tribute to Babylonia for 3 years, he defied the prophets and brazenly mounted several rebellions against the Babylonian occupiers and died in one of the fruitless battles that yielded countless Jewish casualties. Now Yirmiyahu could come out of hiding and was given protection by the Babylonians, since he had preached submission and surrender. The conquerors then installed their own puppet king, Jehoiachin, whom they forced to swear fealty to Babylonia. But within a short few months, he too mounted a rebellion that was quickly crushed. Defeated, Jehoiachin opened the gates to the enemy, who then arrested the king and his family. The entire court and military leadership, as well as the economic and cultural elites, and exiled them to Babylonia, keeping them as hostages for 11 years until the final Hurban. Many of the gold utensils of Beit HaMikdash were looted, leaving behind the impoverished peasantry in the land. They installed Matanya, Yoshiyahu's third son, changed his name to Tzidkiyahu, and made him swear a solemn oath of loyalty as a vassal of Babylonia. It is against that background that chapter 8 closed, as Yirmiyahu exclaimed, "I weep day and night for the casualties of Bat Zion," a lament that is picked up in the first verse of chapter 9. Mi itneni b'midbar malon orchim ve'ezva et ami ve'elcha mi'itam ki kulam menafim atzeret bogdim. If only I had a traveler's lodge in the wilderness, I would abandon my people and depart from them, for they're all adulterers, a crowd of traitors. On the one hand, Yirmiyahu shares the anguish of his people, and on the other, he feels betrayed by them, for they refused to heed his prophecies and persecuted him for his rebuke, calling him a traitor for suggesting they should repent and submit to God's punishment. Radak indicates that Yirmiyahu longs to flee to avoid seeing more suffering that could have been averted. Vayadrechu et leshonam kashtam sheker velo leemuna gavru ba'aretz ki mera'a el ra'a yatzahu ve'oti lo yad'u ne'um Hashem. They draw their tongue like a bow to shoot lies. It is not by truth that they triumph in the land. They go from one sin to another, and they do not acknowledge me, says Hashem. Medrash Shochartov indicates that the prophet compares Lashon Hara to an arrow rather than a sword, for the soldier wielding the sword must come near to do any harm, while the archer can shoot from afar, killing a faceless victim without compunction. Then Hashem speaks to his messenger Yirmiyahu, who is crying for his countrymen suffering under the heavy hand of the Babylonian conquerors. Hashem warns him not to waste his sympathy in verses 3 to 6. Ish mire'ehu hishameru, ve'al kol ach al tiftachu. Ki kol ach akov yaakov ve'kol rea rachil yehaloch. Ve'ish bere'ehu yehatelu ve'emet lo yedaberu. Limdu leshonam daber sheker he'eve nil'u. Shiftecha betoch mirma b'mirma me'anu dat oti ne'um Hashem. Beware of your friends. Do not trust anyone in your clan. For every one of them is a deceiver, and every friend a slanderer. A friend deceives a friend, and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongues to lie. They weary themselves with sinning. You live amidst deception. In their deceit, they refuse to acknowledge me, declares Hashem. Abarbanel indicates that Yirmiyahu admonishes them for dishonesty and cheating, and not only for failure to keep Shabbat or Kashrut, and notes that when deception has become habitual, the liar must deny that there is a higher power that hears and knows the truth. Therefore, retribution is inevitable, and its purpose is rehabilitative, not merely punitive. Lachen ko amar Hashem tzvakot, hineni tzorfam uvchantim, ki ech eesem ipnei bat ami. Therefore, says Hashem of hosts, I shall forthwith refine them and test them. For what else should I do, given that it is my people? Hashem is saying, after all, they are mine, and they were chosen as a holy people, and I love them. So I will refine them like silver that is put to the fire and its dross burnt off. Thus the people are not condemned to extermination, for God trusts that enough Jews will take heed and repent. But then he reiterates, and this time angrily, in verses 7 and 8. Their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lays an ambush for him. Shall I not punish them for these things, says Hashem? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Hashem might forgive betrayal of the covenant, but he cannot tolerate hypocritical abuse and deception between one person and another. He shows Yirmiyahu the forthcoming devastation of the kingdom, and the prophet cries, and perhaps Hashem also mourns. For the mountains I will take up weeping and wailing, and lament for the oases in the wilderness, because they are burned so that no one passes through. No one can hear livestock, for the birds and the animals have wandered, they are gone. I will make Jerusalem into a heap of ruins, a den for jackals, and the cities of Yehuda a desolation with no inhabitant. Then, echoing the language of the Tochacha, at the end of Vayikra and again at the end of Devarim, that vividly foretold the inevitable destruction that would follow social decay and betrayal of Hashem's law. Verses 11 and 12 explain why Hashem allowed the enemy free rein. Why has the land been so ruined that no one dares to travel through it? Hashem replies, this has happened because my people have abandoned my instructions. They have refused to obey what I said. Foreseeing the aftermath of destruction, Yirmiyahu calls on the mourning women to lament the Churban of Yerushalayim in language found in the book of Eicha. Ki ala mavet b'chaloneinu, ba b'armonateinu lehachrit olal michutz b'chorim melchovot. For death has crept in through our windows and has entered our mansions. It has cut off babes from the playgrounds and young men from the streets. The stench of corpses is aptly described as death rising through the windows, as the next verse bemoans, V'nafla nivlata adam kedomen al pnei ha'atzadeh. וכאמיר מאחורי הקוצר ואין מאסף. Human corpses fall as dung on the open field and like bundles of grain after the harvester, and no one gathers. As the chapter closes, there is a last-ditch effort to arouse the people to do tshuva. Koh amar Hashem, אל יתהלל חכם בחוכמתו, ואל יתהלל הגיבור בגבורתו, אל יתהלל עשיר באושרו, כי אם בזאת יתהלל המתהלל, השכל וידוע אותי, כי אני השם עושה חסד, משפט וצדקה בארץ, כי ואלה חפצתי נאום השם. The wise man should not boast in his wisdom, nor the mighty boast of his might, nor the rich in his wealth. But in this may one boast and glory, that he seeks understanding and knows me, that I am Hashem who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares Hashem. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.